Hey everyone, this is Stelly FT.
And Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about the difference between relationships or co-founder teams that have complementary skills and should be making up great and strong teams.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And co-founder teams or teams in general that have learned to work well together. The reason why I want to talk about the distinction and explore it with you, Heaton, is that I was talking to a friend of mine. I'm on vacation in Thailand right now. People will hear the birds and the tuk-tuks in the background. I'm on vacation with a bunch of friends. And one of my friends, who is also a startup founder, was telling me that he's considering or that there's some tension and some challenges in the co-founder relationship. And as we were discussing and talking about it, it was apparent that they make up a great team in the sense that their skill sets are very complementary. Their approach, the philosophies, the way they think about things is very different, but in a way, very, I think, in a way that makes them both together better. The problem is not that they're not a great team. The problem is that they've not learned to work well together. So one person, dislikes certain aspects of the other person's personality and strengths and weaknesses and vice versa. I think they haven't learned to accept each other's strengths and weaknesses and appreciate them. And that creates all this tension and friction. It brought up to me for the first time thinking about the difference between people that are a good team versus people that have learned to work well together, that those two things are different. So I wanted to take you to pick your brain on this pick it apart and see if there's something valuable that we can share with the audience on this.
Yeah, I still would love to know the difference in your mind between the two.
Okay, so I'll give you a great example. I'll take one personal example because myself and my two co-founders, Anthony and Thomas, the three of us are very, very different personality-wise. We're very different in our upbringing. We're very different the way we dress. And we're very different people. And when we started working together, you know, there were a lot of things that made them different from me that I resented or that I disliked and that I secretly wanted to change, right? So I love that they were different from me, but I also didn't like it whenever it was inconvenient for myself. So a simple, small example is that, you know, Anthony, one of my co-founders, is a super quiet type of a person, and he will literally just walk up out of a room and leave without saying goodbye. Or he will enter the office without saying hello. Or if I wrote him an email about something that he wasn't sure how to answer or that was maybe, you know, a conflicting point between the two of us, he would just ignore it, right? This type of thing would drive me insane in the early days. And it would be the type of thing that would create real potential for conflict. I would argue. I would want him to change and I would get really angry and pissed at him. And this is just one example. And eventually, I realized that I, too, have things that probably drive him crazy, but he doesn't seem to have the need to change me. So I would have to make up my mind, you know, am I cool with this person the way they are, or am I only cool with this person if they change in all the ways that I want them to change, becoming more like me? And I just learned in a weird way to accept my co-founders, appreciate their strengths, but also accept their weaknesses or accept the way they are different from me. And today, when he walks into a room or walks off a room or when I write to him something, it doesn't respond. My interpretation is not, this is such an asshole way of dealing with people. This is outrageous. I hate this. Now I'm sitting here waiting for the answer. It's never coming. I don't have that inner dialogue. I'm just thinking, this is the way Anthony operates. This probably means that he doesn't know how to answer. So let me wait and see if I still feel like this is an important thing to discuss tomorrow. And if it still is, let me talk to him in person about this, because I know in person we can talk a lot better about things that we have different opinions on versus in email. So I've just learned to understand him and deal with him on his own terms versus trying to force him into mine. And with my friend, my impression is that if those two guys learned to accept each other's quirks and the way that they are different and difficult in some ways, they could work really, really well together, but they aren't. So they still try to work with each other in their own paradigms, and that creates a lot of conflict because both of them secretly think that the other person is just wrong in the way they handle certain things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to like trust, responsibility, some of the Batman Robin stuff we talked about. And the way I think about it is that a lot of those tactics that we would like suggest or tell people to do are really to solve a problem of relationships. And I think about relationships a lot. I think it has something to do with my personality and upbringing. But for me, when you say what you're saying, I think it's a fundamental problem we have as humans of wanting to believe something we believe about somebody else so strongly that we'll go ignore what the truth is and what they're really like. And I've done this mistake. I don't usually do it on the co-founder side because I have a pretty stable co-founder relationship. But we also always have a partner who's either a founding team member or co-founder, depending on how you look at it, that has significant stake in the company, that's an engineer. And you know, one of the things you want to appreciate when you have relationships like that, or even when you're like trying to, you know, work with a team member or bring them on really quickly, is you're trying to determine what they're capable of, really, and how they're going to contribute to the organization. And a lot of that has to do with their outlook on the world, their experience, and being able to respect who they are. So I'll probably save my tip on this till the end for like how I like to bring people on a team. But it's very related to this thing that you're talking about, which is like, it's almost like on paper, it looks like, oh, you guys should work well together. But then in practice, there's all these conflicts or all these issues. And some people, one of the tactics they use to solve that is they'll align on values early on in the company, and they'll make sure that those are always fundamental. But then the opinions, the tactics, and all that stuff, those can all change as long as they're aligned with the common value of all the people in the company at the time. So I would say that like most of the things we do in startups are all hacks to fix this problem that you are talking about.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, you know, I also think that part of what I'm observing people do is that in the early stages of a relationship, I think there's an emphasis on the strengths, so an emphasis on what the other person brings to the table that's desirable or that's currently lacking. And people evaluate each other and go, wow, this person's really amazing at X. And I really want that, or I think I really need this to be successful in my company. And once that, it's kind of like the flirting phase where you see everything that's attractive about the other person. But then, well, you know, you get into the we move in together phase, and then into the we have children and we get married and we're like 5 to 10 years into the relationship, where you don't see the beautiful, attractive, shiny new things. You've seen everything, and you probably now have a stronger emphasis on everything you don't like, all the weaknesses, all the quirks, all the things that are annoying, all the things that are inconvenient to you, and you start to ignore the good things and take them for granted. And I think that's just an obvious, unfortunate, and unhealthy way of building, creating and building and maintaining relationships, because you find that co-founder, you find that team, the early hire that you want to make because they're so attractive in their strengths and what they bring to the table. But then after you work with them day in and day out and you work with them through some highs and lows, they have maybe just some small, in many cases, it's small things. It's like quirks, it's personality traits, it's little things.
But human beings are flawed.
Yeah, they are. All of them.
Like, you essentially get this. This is why I was saying you get this idea of someone in your head,
yeah,
and then you want to believe it, yeah. And then when they make you disbelieve it somehow, just some action or some little thing, you like freak out, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with just controlling yourself and realizing that we're all human, we're all going to make mistakes, and we can't get that excited about any one person. And I know that sounds really messed up because that excitement is what makes you excited about them joining the team or founding a company with them or working with them. But at the end of the day, there's a very objective way to look at the situation of having this kind of relationship. And the objective way is like, look, you're good at some stuff. I'm good at some stuff. Some of it is complementary, but let's figure out how we're going to align on sort of what this business needs and how we both can help it. Right. And I think that what I find funny is that that's what I call going back to basics. Right? Basics are we're trying to build a business, right? And being able to focus and realign on those things is kind of some of the strategies that I've used, because it's very easy to forget that, like, we're all human, we make mistakes, and nobody's perfect, right? But the funny thing is, when you partner with someone or bring someone on your team, you almost need to believe the exact opposite in order to have conviction that they're a great person to work with.
It's so funny because, you know, when you think about it very rationally, I think it's easy to see, hey, this, what does this person bring to the table? What are the pros and cons? Do these negatives really outweigh the positives? And people could make, you know, some very basic math and come up with a rational decision on, does it make sense to work with this person or not, without wanting to change them or.
So my concern with that, just high level, is we have to make sure we're doing that with the other person there.
Yeah, well,
when you don't do that, when you don't do that with the other person, you screw it all up, because you're making shit up on their behalf, and then you're making decisions on their behalf on how you're going to treat them in a business context on top of all that.
Yeah.
Right. And in a business context, we all have a common goal, which is grow the damn business.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if you don't have that common goal in a business, don't be in the business. Right. So it's basically like, we have to remember that these people are also human, and everything we believe about them might not be true. And the only way to verify some of those things is talk it out with them and align. Right. So, you know, I was going to give this tip later, but it's essentially something I've started doing and it's been working, which is what I call throw people in the deep end. And if I had to find a new co-founder, I would do the same thing. And what that means is, there's a deep end of the pool. The person standing on the edge of it, you've hired them, and you're trying to figure out where they break or whether they can swim or what their swimming style is. So you just throw them in the pool. And you say, here's the pool. Here's my company. Here's all the things that are possible. Here's where I think you can be helpful. You're in the deep end. Let's go. Right? And then your job is to figure out, do they stay in the deep end? Do they even need to go more shallow? Do they need these floaties to help them? What do they need? Right? And if you're figuring